American songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Tyler of Saving Vice over Zoom video. Tyler talked to us about where he grew up and how he got into music. He told us about forming his first bands in high school, actually moving to Vegas for an opportunity to be in a band, and then moving back to his hometown of Vermont, and that's where he was able to join Saving Vice. They were a band sort of prior to him joining. Very early on, he joined them for like a summer. It became a thing. Obviously, the band started getting a lot of traction, so obviously he stuck with it. The band has done some amazing shows, been able to open up for some huge bands, even play Warped Tour in 2018, the very final Warped Tour. He told us about the first Saving Vice EP that has been scrubbed from the internet. And he also told us about their brand new record, Hello There, which has over 1 million streams on Spotify, which is awesome. You can watch the interview with Tyler and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringin' It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringin' Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringin' It Backwards with Saving Vice. Our podcast is on your journey in music and how you got to where you are now. And we'll talk about, of course, starting your band, Saving Vice, and the record you guys just put out.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to dive into this with like an intro or anything like that?
No, we just go.
Word. Okay, cool. You know, everyone's got their own little system, so.
Yeah, I just roll into it. It's my
Am I at a good volume?
Yeah, dude, you're perfect on my end.
Okay, perfect. I know I had my gain turned down too much on the last one I did, and when it came out, he was way louder than me, and I was like trying to listen to it. I had to crank it every time I was talking. I gotta fix that. Cool. Just let
if
me know.
It was like that, dude, I could fix that too. So.
Okay. Just let me know.
Yeah, we'll fully produce the interview.
Perfect.
Sweet, man. I did read the band formed in Vermont. Is that originally from where you're from?
Yeah, so that's where I live now. I did move away for a little bit. I lived in Las Vegas for a couple years. Okay. And then I moved back here when I was kind of done. I was in another band out there briefly.
Oh,
and,
right on.
And it kind of fell through. So I ended up coming home and just sitting around until Saving Vice kind of stumbled along.
Right on. Well, yeah. How did you get into music?
I mean, I was like always into music, you know, growing up. When I probably, you know, I got into like Linkin Park when I was in like fourth grade, you know,
okay, so it's
like,
sure.
I was always jamming records and, I listen to all sorts of stuff. I remember like when I was younger, like my friends, like I like some rap, but I remember when I was younger, a lot of my friends were in like this hardcore hip hop phase, and I tried to get along with it because that's what all my friends were into. And they were all trying to like, you know, they all wanted to dress like gangsters and do shit like that for a while. We were kids. But like, I felt like I was faking it, you know, I was like, you know, they were like, oh, they like didn't like yelling music, but I was like listening to like fucking like Alter Bridge and like Linkin Park and like shit like that, yeah. You know, my like gateway bands. And then you know, around like the end of middle school, I got into like, you know, like Good Charlotte and like, you know, Newfound. It was like started with pop punk stuff.
Sure.
Weirdly enough, because I notoriously like don't really like pop punk now, which is funny. Oh. But I like that older stuff. Like I don't think it's the newer stuff that I'm not like. I like Sum 41 and like, you know,
yeah, like those,
like Blink 182.
Yeah, it's a punk or pop punk band. So
yeah, it's a very different sound than like the one, you know, Neck Deep. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
So, but yeah, I mean, so I kind of started with that. And I was never really like, I always had trouble really I just liked singing, right? Okay. So like, I always liked singing. Like I wanted to like, I liked writing my angry little lyrics and shit. And like, I always wanted to be a vocalist. Like when I was a kid, I mean, I was just like, you know, singing NSYNC in the mirror. Like I wanted to be in a boy band when I was little, really little, you know, I've just always wanted to do that stuff. And, but it kind of always felt like I need, but you know, being a vocalist, trying to be in a band, especially like at any age, is like always hard because everybody thinks they're a vocalist. So it's always
right. Everybody wants to be the most important, like yeah. Front man, you know?
Well, it's also like the most common thing that people suck at that they think they're good at. And like, sure. it's a lot harder to quantify a bad vocalist than it is a bad drummer or a bad guitarist, you know?
Right. But
I think also it's just easier because you don't have to buy as much shit.
You just roll up and the drummer's like, yeah, oh my God, yeah. Has to have a truck yeah. And all this other crap.
Yeah. It's like first show, like it's like the drummer like has to carry the most shit, has to spend the most money. And then like, I don't even help him carry his shit. Like,
right. You got all those stands right on.
I'm just kidding. We always help with the drums, but right. Otherwise we'll be there where we're otherwise you're loading out for like 2 hours. But so it kind of started with like stuff like that. And then, you know, My Chemical Romance, obviously. The Used is like, it was weird. My Chemical Romance was like my favorite, and I always liked The Used. Uh-huh. But The Used has like probably held up the most as like a band I still listen to the most from like my youth.
Sure.
But it was kind of like, that was like my introduction to like screaming stuff was like that. And like Linkin Park, Story of the Year.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember, you know, in high school, like really getting into like Under Oath and then Bring Me the Horizon. And then I kind of started gravitating towards that. And Under Oath was like my favorite band ever.
Oh, that's cool.
So I always kind of wanted to do it, but, it was hard because not a lot of people wanted to really give me a chance, especially in the scene around here when I was younger. Like the metalcore scene in Vermont used to be like crazy. We had a lot more venues back then though. You know, a lot of venues have shut down. Mm-hmm. And the scene for like that, like the emo scene, mm-hmm. you know, so to speak, however you
right,
want
right.
to
well,
call
that's
it.
Like, it's funny that genre. I love that genre, but it's like, it was so narrow and now it's just like, like, oh, yeah. You're a band that screams a little bit? You're an emo band.
Yeah. So whatever you want to pocket, like, the Warped Tour bands into,
sure.
that whole scene in Vermont kind of disappeared, you know, for a lot. It's, like, mostly just, like, it was kind of, there's a few, it's, like, underground hardcore bands and indie bands and, like, punk bands and stuff like that mostly. You know, Burlington's kind of, like, very much ingrained with that old school. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't really a much of a place for me, and like I got made fun of a lot when I was younger trying to get into vocals and stuff. And I mean I didn't know I wasn't good, but I really wanted to do it, but I never really took myself seriously because no one else did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about a problem for me for a long time, was I viewed myself the way other people made me feel that way. So it was like but then, you know, this is a really long story, so I'm trying to like get the bullet points.
No, man, keep going.
I remember I was listening to Bless the Fall. Craig Mabbitt was still in the band, and I was just like, man, like this dude's vocal singing and his screams are like so good and like so mm-hmm. cool, and it's so cool that he does both. So I was like, I want to do that. So like I just like started teaching myself how to do both, which was like really hard, and I feel like I didn't really fully master it until I was, and I mean you can always get better, but I feel like I didn't truly understand how to really do it like live and like mm-hmm. do it well until Saving Vice, because okay. I had way more experience playing shows. But basically what happened was kind of like, I tried, you know, joining a band around here. It didn't really work out. And then I had been like friends on the internet with like Danny from Asking from like before he was even in the band. So like we used to be homies. Like we had a falling out years ago. Like nothing bad. It's just, we just don't talk anymore. But, you know, he went through a lot and things changed. But back in the day, we were like really tight. Mm-hmm. And we both had a lot in common, and like he always kind of believed in me, like because we were like kind of on the same wave, like we both wanted to do the same thing.
Sure.
Just his band just happened to actually blow up like really big. So you know, he kind of like was always trying to help me out and shout me out. Like every time I went to like a show, he'd always like let me do guest vocals with them and stuff. And
you
know,
that's rad.
And would like, you know, promote me and try to find me like, you know, musicians. And then he had this idea to like form his own band that he would manage or something, because he's mm-hmm. Danny, you know, so to try to use his hype to try to like, so he like,
sure.
So I moved to Vegas because that was where the band was. So,
got it. Okay.
So that like at first was going really well. Like it was pretty much like an internet built thing that we kind of built, but I think like he didn't really know what he was doing, and we kind of just went along with it because we were naive and it was fun. And then,
right.
And we ended up having this huge internet presence and like only like one song, and it was like great. And like, we probably could have blown up, but we were all just like, we didn't really know how to do the actual thing, because like, this was my first time really getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'd been in a couple little bands playing one or two shows in Vermont, but like, I didn't really know how to like what it really took. And I think that we depended too much on him, because there's a lot of promises and all these things were going to supposed to happen.
Sure.
And so we ended up doing all this stuff and recording an album, and like never really even get to release it of it properly.
Oh wow.
So it's out there. It's like, I mean, it's junk now. I wouldn't even listen to it. I mean, the instrumentals still hold up, but the vocals are awful. But but I mean, yeah, like we had like fucking like thousands and thousands and thousands of like likes and follows on like my like Facebook and all shit. It was crazy. Yeah. We hadn't even played a show. It was so weird. It was all because of hype, because word of mouth, because Danny was tweeting about us and stuff. So basically that ended up kind of falling apart, because we were all broke. And then like Danny was hard to reach, because he was going through it like all sort of his shit that he went through back in the day. And then it kind of just fell apart. And I just kind of came home defeated and was like, well, I guess I tried it, you know, it's over. So I kind of hung around for a little bit. And then around 2016, Robbie hit me up, I think, or I hit Robbie up. I can't, Robbie's our guitarist. I think it was like, I heard, got wind that, or someone hit me up from the band about modeling their merch. Cause he had just started, he had just started this band like out of his dorm in college with some dudes off Craigslist. And I was like, and I was kind of like known as like that, my, that like that scene dude, like from, you know, the town, like, it was like, right. Who are we going to get in Vermont to do this? Well, there's that one guy who, you know, who like was like really known for all that shit. So, and I ended up kind of meeting up with them and I was just really interested. I mean, there wasn't a day I didn't miss music or wish I was in a band, but I kind of thought you were like supposed to give it up after you tried it once. Cause it's like, oh, I got to grow up now and figure out a real job. Yeah. So I try, I remember like, I even like, you know, I saw like, there's some photos even I go back where I was like, just trying to get work. Cause I wasn't really trying to do music. And I had like, I didn't even feel like I looked like myself. I like cut my hair and I looked like I looked all normal because I was trying to get normal jobs and shit. And it was just, and I felt like I wasn't myself for like a while. And, so yeah, like they hit me up and I kind of just thought like, well, you know, I know how to like build a band out of nothing and like how to market it and like do all that stuff. I've seen it. I've seen the moves that made Asking blow up and made Motionless blow up and the shit that made Memphis go down the toilet. And like they're still doing good, but not in like the scene they used to, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like
sure.
A lot of people aren't as high, you know, they kind of fell off the, like, I'd say the Warped Tour band radar. They're kind of like in the dad rocky genre now, I feel like, you know, that's kind of what they're doing, which is whatever, you know. I was down the toilet was harsh, but I guess I'm speaking from the internet's opinion. I seem to see the most, but because a lot of people feel the same way about Asking. I actually really liked their self-titled, by the way. I didn't like the new one, but everyone really hated the red one, but well, you know, the one where Danny came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it went kind of like more mainstream. And like, I thought it was really good, but everyone like just hated it. So like seemed to hate it so much because they weren't, you know, heavy anymore.
Sure.
Like they used to be. But anyways, I go off tangents. You got to keep me in line, but
this ain't about me, man. I love your tangent.
So, thank you. So I don't hear that often. So So I was kind of like, oh, maybe I can like help these dudes because they're just starting out, and I can be like, hey, like, this is kind of what you got to have. You want to like your first release should kind of look like this, and you want to maybe do this and blah blah blah. And basically a chain of events happened, and they ended up they had like another singer dude and then Chase, because like I scream and sing, and then Chase does like a lot more screaming because he does like the heavier stuff. Like we're kind of a dual vocal band.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think, yeah, you guys have two singers or two vocalists, right?
Yeah, we tried hard with, I feel like our songwriting kind of reflects it. We try hard to not get pegged as that like one, that typical like Kyle Pavone and Dave thing, or like the one singer, the one screamer. Like we both are like try to be versatile and really make it feel like you couldn't have, like our songs couldn't be even performed without one of the other, like where like a lot of I feel like a lot of other dual vocalists in the band, eventually they lose one guy and you don't even notice live anymore,
right?
Like, you know what I mean? And it's like one dude could have done everything the whole time, and I wanted to avoid that. So
that's awesome.
So they eventually asked me to replace this other dude, and I was like, man, like I don't even want to do this anymore. Like I'm trying to be stable now. Like I'm not, like I already did it. I gave up.
Right.
You know? What's in Vermont? Like where are we even gonna play? Like there's not really a place for this kind of music here anymore. Like I don't really know. I don't have the time. But I was like, God, I just want to play a show though. So I was like, you know what? I'll come do it for like, you know, the summer. We'll play some shows just to be in the band, and I got to like just play. I'll play in front of five people. I don't care, right? So we did that. I joined them. We wrote this like cruddy little 5-song EP that we played through the summer of 2017 called Lost Words, which is literally lost because we erased it from existence. But some people still have it and have been digging it up. I don't know where, but I keep saying people tag me like, oh man, I gotta get a copy of Lost Words. I'm like, how do you know what that is? You're not supposed to know what that is.
I scrubbed that thing from the internet.
Yeah, I know. I like raise it to the ground. But you know, the songs were really fun, and that's what it was supposed to be. It was like, hey, I just want to write. Because metalcore went through that phase where everybody got way too cool for breakdowns and everybody missed breakdowns. It was like everybody who shit talked Asking Alexandria all just stand up and scream all the time now about like, oh man, I wish bands were like this again. I'm like, you were the ones who ran those bands out of town. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So it's like, you know, this, we were just like, it's for fun, like whatever. Like we should just write like, not corny, but you know, like 2010 Rise Corps shit and just fun, sure. bouncy, headbangy breakdown with like sick choruses. So we, you know, and it, like, I think the songs we had some strengths to them because we did save like one of our most popular songs, Hell Here, is literally the first song off the Lost Words. We just like improved it and added to it.
And then
some parts from the other songs were dissected for songs off our first EP, Colder Than Dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we ended up basically just playing for the summer and it was, you know, it was cool. We played, we played mostly in like New Hampshire and Maine because like, we didn't really play a real show in Vermont until years later.
Just because there wasn't a scene there?
I always kind of like I was never like, I was like the one, like the scene dude in a place full of like guys who thought people like me, like shouldn't be making music kind of thing. So it was kind of like, I wasn't loved in the local scene. But also even if the scene had still really been like, even if I had been though, there wasn't really that like 242, which was one of the last venues that like was a really great venue for years that put on local mm-hmm. shows. Like I saw Saving Vice like right before I joined the band. They played a local show there right before around the time it closed. And then after that, it was generally just house shows or Higher Ground, which is the one big venue. But you got to be like, you can't just play Higher Ground, like a local show, like a lot of local shows, like that doesn't really happen there. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like bigger for touring bands or like bigger touring bands coming through.
Yeah, typically. Okay. So unless it's like a really big organized thing. So it was like we didn't really have a chance to really, there wasn't really a lot of options. There was like, so we played, we used to play this, you know, Manchester a lot. Manchester, New Hampshire became like our hometown for a while. Cause that was like where we like, played probably the most local shows, and every time we'd play, there's this place called The Bungalow that closed down, and it was like a bar restaurant that, and they mm-hmm. it actually became a pretty sick venue, and like some pretty cool tours started coming through there, but it ended up shutting down for shows, and then the promoter Richie Downs moved over to this place called The Jewel, which is like a bigger venue, but it just started kind of taking off before mm-hmm. COVID hit, you know what I mean?
Oh wow.
So like but that's, I can get to that later, a little later, because that's, that was that. But yeah, so we kind of just played it. We got our, you know, we played a bunch of like, you know, we played to five people. I remember our first show I played with them was this place called 212 Live in like Maine. It was out in like bumfuck Maine in like the snow and like five people like at the bar and like a couple dudes and like all these bands that we did not fit in. I don't think we played a lineup that we fit in with for the first year or two we were doing stuff, you know.
Oh really?
Yeah, we were always like the one metalcore band or the one band with singing in like a deathcore hardcore lineup or something like that. So it was like, it was weird, cool though, because we never really got like shit or anything. Like it was like everyone else in the scene was always really cool to us and we made a lot of friends, but it was it took a little while to like kind of earn it from the crowd, so to speak, because a lot of the crowd wasn't there for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we ended up kind of like, so we, you know, 2017 basically we played a bunch of little shows, and then we ended up getting on Devil Wears Prada, came through Vermont and played at Higher Ground. So I'm lying. Wow. We did play one. I totally lie. We did play one show in Vermont. This is,
so you got to play with them?
Yeah.
Huge.
I always forget about this because we kind of, and I'll tell you, you'll understand why, but I kind of, in my mind, the band really started in 2018. Because like 2007, but I'll kind of explain that.
Well, real quick, before, but like, so yeah, they were a band. So Saving Vice was a band for a bit before you joined them, and then it kind of
like
changed.
Kind of. They were like, they had just started, like,
as
a garage band and playing like, you know, patio shows at bars.
And then
stuff
that's
like that.
When you joined that summer, just as a like, got it. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was, oh God, it's so funny. I look at pictures of like back when we used to practice with like this little PA that was like a foot wide, this little speaker that was like a foot wide and like the garage of Robbie's like,
you're like holding it.
Yeah. No, it was so, dude, we were so janky. It was like the progress we made. It's kind of crazy.
That
yeah, I mean, we used to use the shitty drum pad to have bass drop, but like that drum pad made our shows go off so hard because we just had these like massive bass drops and stuff. But the drummer, our old drummer Evan, he was in the band for like the first year or so, He ended up parting ways like a little later, but I'll get to that. But he would just fucking hit the pad like when he wasn't supposed to, just to add extra. He'd be like, you know, I just feel like a bass drop would be sick here. So we had this like piece of shit programmed pad thing, but it got us by. But yeah, and we ended up getting to open for Devil Wears Prada at Higher Ground that first summer. And that was around the time where I was like, holy shit, like this might be
a real thing.
I remember like we outsold them in merch. It was like, yeah. We ended up giving a cut to them because we just felt bad, like, because they were on the road, you know?
Right.
And it was like, and the crowd was actually like super hyped on us, and it was like really fun. And we were like, you know, we weren't playing to a click. I still watch videos where we weren't playing to a click yet or anything. And it was just so raw. And I don't think I was ready for it to get. But I just remember big. I was like so happy. Like, I don't think I'd ever been that happy in years. Like, that was like the happiest day of my life for so long. And I was like, shit, I really do want to do this still, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's obviously not too late, you know? So after that, we ended up getting this book to play with this band called Convictions, who's like pretty cool. I can't remember where they're from, but they're pretty dope. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but you should check them out.
I haven't heard of them. I'll check them out though,
sure. They're like a pretty heavy band, but they've been doing some kind of experimental-y stuff lately that's been really cool. But nice. we opened for them in New York. It was our first time in Albany. And the Ashley, Ashley Ventura, who's like now our manager, was the one who booked us at that show. And she saw us play and was like, holy shit, I want to manage you guys. Pretty much how it happened. Was like, and like, she's like, I think you guys, because we were like organized, you know what I mean? We had like, we thought out our stage presence. We always make sure like we looked like we were a band when we showed up. We tried to like, you know, it's like the fake it till you make it thing. We always wanted to, progressively over the years, our thing was like, hey, like, what do the bands that are like really pro do?
Right.
What's the closest we could get to presenting ourselves that way? So
sure,
like we're perceived that way. So people will give a shit. And like, luckily for us, even though our recordings were junk, our live show, like everybody was always like having fun or jumping and playing. Yeah. So we like kind of got our name from just playing shows through that first year. And then when she kind of picked us up, we were like, okay, like it's time to like really take this seriously. But like, we got to kind of start fresh because like, it's been kind of this like, we kind of fell into this. There's like, you know, junk promos and all this shit from when like we weren't really trying that hard, you know? So we basically reset the clock and we played one last show, which was like insane at the Bungalow. I think that was our first headliner we ever played. And we played all those songs one more time. And then we like, we're like, yeah, it's the last time we're playing these. And then we just.
Oh, and that was the record that you guys got rid of on the.
Yeah. Lost Words. Yeah.
Okay.
So right after that, we kind of got to work and we recorded our song Exhale, which was our first single we dropped officially, as we call it.
After the record was, yeah, the other one's gone. And yeah, you guys are kind of like.
I look at it as the training wheels EP. Yeah.
We're doing this
new logo, we did new promos, we learned a lot of business lessons in the process. Like we got fucked over a few times, you know, we did their thing, but so we dropped the song, we shot our first music video. It was like, and then we dropped it in January, February, so it was just a year, or it was just the anniversary was just recently, but we dropped that early 2018. Was like our first little get it going. And I don't think we knew exactly, like we knew we wanted to do a lot of different sounds, because I think that was the problem, was all these bands kept trying to pigeonhole them into whatever new thing was happening. And then someone was always bitching that they wish bands were doing this or wish they were doing that. And like, we were like, we just wanted to write like what we want to hear. That was always our thing. Like, we want to write music that the other, like, let's make the EP that no one else is making that we want.
Right.
So, and we can try a different subgenre kind of spin on each track, and like it was an EP too, so it was perfect to kind of experiment and see what did the best.
So
we started writing that, but Exhale, I feel like if we dropped it now, it would go off even harder than it did then, because it was kind of like that Bring Me the Horizon teardropsy, like the plot in you, feel nothing kind of like big emo chorus, like with the beats and stuff. But I think it was just kind of like, we have a bad habit of doing a lot of shit that I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a really cool different thing that we can do, but we keep doing it too early and it doesn't catch. Yeah. So like, we have a really bad habit of being ahead of the game, but like no one cares or notices. Like, well, so it's like,
I mean, obviously, yeah, that's a good thing to do, right? I mean,
well, I used to think so. I used to think so, but like the band, we'd always get in these debates where it's just like, well, Tyler, I'll be like, yeah, like this is the next thing, and then like they'd be like, well, Tyler, like every time we do this, like we're too, it's too soon.
Early to the game.
Yeah, and then it doesn't work. You know what I mean? And then or then by the time we wait too long and someone else does it, and then it looks like we're copying someone else, kind of thing.
Sure.
So that was kind of this cycle we got locked into. But Exhale was really cool. I still really like it. Like the band doesn't like playing it because it's like slower song. Like it's fun for me to sing, but no one else likes playing it live. But right. The fans love it because it's like that song, and it's like it hits home with a lot of people. But there's a lot of the guys are really like get really jaded about stuff that they don't want to play. I'm like, guys, this is the game. We're gonna be playing shit you don't want to play for a long time,
forever.
Like,
right?
You're just getting used to it. You know? So we dropped that, and that video got us on Warped Tour. So we played we got to play one. It was only one date, but we got to play the last Warped Tour in 2018 in Massachusetts.
That's really sick, though.
Yeah.
The final official like tour, and then they did like those two dates, like. Like the East, they did a date in like San Francisco and then one in.
So that happened. We were in the middle of recording and finishing up.
Well, how did the video land you on Warped Tour?
It was weird. So we had this friend who basically knew Kevin Lyman and had his phone number and like basically just sent him the video and was like, hey, is there room for them on this date? They're a local, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, I can put them on. And that was it. Like, I remember we used to have these parties all the time with all of the friends of the band. And we were doing a New Year's Eve party. And I think it was like either right before midnight or right after midnight. And like, my friend's like, yo, Kevin Lyman's on this phone. And I'm like, no, he's not. And then he was like, no, I swear to God, I heard his voice. Our friend comes over. She's like, yeah, you guys are playing Warped Tour. And I was like, all drunk. Like, what the fuck?
You're right. Of course.
So we started calling it the SV Magic, like the show with Prada, like, you know, 2 months after we started playing shows, you know, it was like, we started calling this weird shit that just kept working out. Like the SV Magic. So we were like all freaking out. And then, you know, Colder, that we finally dropped Colder than Dark. Okay. Yeah. And it did like so well, It was like, I think I remember I was watching on the iTunes metal charts all day. Cause the Word Alive dropped release albums the same day as us both years that we dropped.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And I remember we were like literally one behind them on the charts for the entire day. We were in the top 10 our EP was in the top 10 on the metal charts on our first day.
That's
our
first dope. Yeah, that's so huge.
Yeah, it was. And it's like, I feel like it's hard for me lately. We're so focused on the next thing that when I go back, this is a cool podcast. I'm just realizing because like, it's given me a chance with, you know, COVID gets me so depressed. It's easy for me to forget really what we have accomplished. Uh-huh. I think sometimes I take for granted how fast things move for us and how like lucky we've been. So that's kind of sweet. I just started just a random thought, but yeah.
I love that. I love to hear that, man.
So that was pretty cool. Well, usually when I get talking too much about the past on these podcasts, I end up, it's off subject. So like, I'm like, this is what it's for. So I don't feel like I'm ranting. Yeah.
No, this is exactly what it's for. to hear how you guys did this.
I've been trying to check myself on all these interviews because I have such a bad habit of rambling. So I'm just like, wait, I'm supposed to this time.
Right. Yeah.
But so Colder Than Dark came out. You know, our song Hell Here is like our
kills
probably, one of our best and biggest songs, I would say. You know, that was so that, you know, did really well. And then we had Euthanasia with Rory from Dayseeker, that did really well. So pretty much when we weren't touring yet either. So, and we also were like, hey, like every single on this EP is like so dope. Like, I don't want to just hot push one and be that, like, I'm so sick of like all these bands have a whole discography, but only one song anyone cares about. And so we shot videos for like for almost all of them. Yeah. So we did like a live video for Run To You at Warped Tour. That was really dope. So we had our Warped Tour performance. Yeah.
Sure,
and then we did one for Black Ice, Yeah, so we liked it, and it just did really well. And like, we played a bunch of really sick shows. We got to play I Matter Festival that same year. Wow. I got to open for Under Oath, which is like my favorite band.
Right.
So
did that you get was to like meet them and everything.
I could have. I was out hanging out. I hung out with August Burns Red a little bit, and like, because we played them too, and like some other bands. But
I've interviewed
I was like,
those guys. They're dope. Yeah.
They're funny. Yeah. I was just too, you know, I was too stressed out about looking like a fan, so I just didn't talk to them.
Right.
But they were walking all around me, and I'm just like freaking out because I'm like, bro, they're playing the same stage we played. Like,
that's so sick.
So I was like geeking. Yeah, it was crazy. So that was just really awesome. And I remember we were writing for Hello There that whole year. We had songs. So I remember the like Endgame, which was the first song we dropped off Hello There, was like written that summer of like 2018. We already knew it was gonna be like the single that we dropped first.
Okay.
So it was kind of like we were just in this constant, like, we're upgrading our gear and our live setup. We were trying to put lights in our speakers and do all this shit and try to just like up our game every time, because like it felt like this pressure, but felt like we were growing out of our shoes too fast, because like we didn't have all the money but it felt like our presence on the internet versus what we were was starting to like get ahead of us a little bit. So, you know, we started really trying to like, okay, let's dial it back and then really plan this album release out and make it big, and like, no matter how long it takes, we do it big, we do it right. So we really started planning out the whole schedule for it from like the end of 2018 with the plan to drop it early 2020, like from there.
Because you had the record kind of done at that point, or no
we record. So basically kind of shit got bad basically for us for a little bit. What happened was the plan was to start the campaign a little bit earlier, like probably three months earlier than it actually happened. But what happened was, like, we played one last show 2018, which is one of my favorite shows to date. We played with Currents at the Bungalow, and it was just insane. It was like so packed. I remember like that was probably, I remember I always think about that because, you know, we're not a crowd kill band. But like, that was the most brutal pit we've ever had, was at that show. Like, I remember walking off the stage, and it was like Saving Private Ryan at the beach, just like dudes like, like, you know, just like, I was like, Saving, I remember some private Ryan. I saw some dude like fly head first, like into the stage while I was like singing, like just like smashing his face. Like, it was drinks flying everywhere. It was great. I remember there was one part where we were building up to a breakdown, and I saw like five dudes in a circle, all huddled in the pit, going around in a circle. And I was like, what is going on? And then they all just like exploded like a grenade into it and started just beating the shit out of everybody on the edge of the pit. It was just,
oh my
crazy.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, shit, we don't ever get this. Like, this is awesome. Like, you know, cause we like have such a diverse and age group and like group of people with different tastes in our fan base. Like, we don't always have like an entire crowd of people who want to get punched in the face. A lot of them want to come and jump and headbang and sing. And then like, that's the thing with our music. Cause we'll literally go from like Knocked Loose to like Bless the Fall in the same breath in some songs, you know what I mean? And so, but it was cool to actually get to, because like we all just wanted to like see some blood once in a while, because like we like heavy shit, you know. So it was fun, because usually
blood every once in a while.
But so that was great. And that was Cody, our old guitarist's last show with us, because he was trying to get a house, and you know, he had a really good job and all this stuff, and it was kind of just getting the financial aspect was kind of getting overwhelming for him. So, and it was a bummer too. Cause you know, it's like, you know, he built like our risers and a lot of our shit. Like, he was there when we did all this stuff, when we did Warped Tour, and like, you know, we used to like practice and stay at his house. That was like our hub and our hangout spot. So it was like, it was kind of, everyone in the band kind of started doing jobs for the band too. So it wasn't just that we lost our friend and our guitarist, but we lost kind of like that piece of our infrastructure
too.
So we all had to learn to do stuff that Cody used to do for the band. And then we started recording Colder Than Dark. Oh yeah, I forgot to add, Evan, our old drummer, he left in recording Colder Than Dark, and then Sam Welton joined the band around that time.
Oh, so you lost your drummer in the recording process
of Colder Than Dark, like way back? Before Warped Tour. It was lineup changes have been like a scary, really stressful part of this band.
And the
early,
drummer
early conception. Yeah.
Isn't the drummer like the hardest dude to find?
Yeah.
They have
so
like
Let me rewind. Cause I'll Sammy will be pissed if I just leave him out of this. Let me rewind a bit just for a second. So basically what happened was, we sent Sammy Euthanasia, and we were like, cause he hit someone of us up asking, you know, if we needed a drummer. basically. Mm-hmm. So we sent him Euthanasia, and he sent us a drum video of him just like playing it and like doing all these spin, like drum tricks.
Stick
he
spins
just slayed it. And we were like, holy shit, yes, this guy, let's this go. Guy. So yeah, so that's how we ended up in the band. And then he came, and one of his first times hanging out with us was when, and it was his first time ever coming to Vermont, was when we shot the video for Hell Here. Cause we shot it in a castle in Southern Vermont in
dope.
And it was like 2 degrees. And like, if you watch that video, watch the Hell Here video. Uh-huh. It's like, you can see our breath in the air. We had two space heaters that were like, not enough. Me and Chase were in t-shirts for this whole shoot. It was brutal. It was so brutal. And we also had like, we stayed up like all night partying and ended up having like an interview on the news at like 5 a.m. too, right before this video shoot.
We had
a bad habit. We were that band for the first year or two where we just like burnt it at both ends. And then we kind of like smartened up and we're like, okay, like this is a business. We can't be like, yeah, like we're like partying. we can't handle this. Like we can't be as professional as we're trying to be. And be like just fucking off like every time we hang out or after every show. Mm-hmm. So like, let's not all get hammered like at every show we play anymore, you know? But yeah, so that was like how Sammy joined the band. So then, you know, Cody, you know, we lost Cody at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And then we had our first recording session with Randy Pascarella, who did Colder Than Dark as well.
Okay.
He's the singer and drummer of If I Were You.
Okay.
So basically, sorry, I know I went a little off there.
No, yeah, no.
Anyway, so back to the timeline, recording Hello There. This is 2019, mm-hmm. early 2019. And Zach had two kids. So Zach got offered a really good job and he ended up having to like kind of move on too. And this was, cause we were at a point where it was like, it was better that it happened then than later. Mm-hmm. When we were about to try to make, cause it's like, you don't want to be having lineup changes right when you're trying to do like right in the middle of like you really campaigning your stuff. So right. We were like, well, it's like, this really sucks, but it's better. It happens now than later. So all of a sudden now we're like just kind of dead in the water here. So we ended up playing, this was still a while. This was, I think, one of the only shows we played in 2019 because yeah, it was like, so basically what happened was, we're now we're trying to pay off the album with like way less people. So we're all super broke. We can't do anything. We can barely afford to do any of the stuff we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. We're trying to pay the record off. You know, we finished up. So we dropped like the Black Ice acoustic thing to try to like give people something to listen to. And it ended up like blowing up. It's one of our top stream songs of all time. We actually shot it in a cemetery in the morning, right before I started recording vocals for Hello There.
Oh wow. Like,
yeah, just with our photographer. And then it was supposed to be this small thing and it ended up, and now we have a bunch of acoustic and piano stuff because it's like some of our...
Yeah, you guys have that total, like, you know, the live, or not live, but like the plugged in version, so to speak.
Yeah,
that are screaming and heavy, and then you also have the piano and acoustic songs.
Yeah, well, because it did so well, we're like, man, like this is just like, and we're good at it, so it's easy, and it's like, and it's getting us a lot of new listeners and stuff, and a lot of in a bigger broader audience. So we've kind of consistently tried to keep doing those now because that did so well. But we were going through a rough time. We played one show at the Palladium in Worcester, which is like the other big one in our area. Mm-hmm. That was Zach's last show. Kenji, our new so Robbie's moved to guitar. Okay. So Robbie was playing bass, but he's been writing all the music. So we were like, bro, like, and he was like, he really wanted to like, he's like, well, man, it's like playing it live and writing is different. And he's like, and blah, blah, blah. And like, I want to rock out more. Like, I can't rock out as much if I'm playing guitar. But we were like, dude, like, you are the guitarist. Like, you're the, like, the, you, this is your baby. You should be playing. You should be doing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're the guitarist. Be the guitarist. So Robbie switched to guitar. That was his first, Zach's last show was his first show on guitar. And then Kenji came in playing bass. So there was one show where like Kenji and Zach were both in the band like at the same time.
Oh, weird.
Right, okay. As the transition happened.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then after that, we were kind of just dead in the water trying to figure out financially what we were going to do and what the next move was. It got kind of like, it was kind of a bummer. And then we ultimately decided not to get another guitarist and to just backtrack the second guitar like a lot of bands do nowadays, because it was like, it's so hard to find people you can trust. And we had started to build this like real circle of like, it was a real business. Now we had an LLC and stuff, you know, and like we couldn't, it just didn't make sense to try to find another person that we had to coordinate with and trust and like get who was going to be dedicated financially and, you know, want what we wanted because we're all in it to like,
right. Get to the end. Our job now, right?
Yeah. So it was just a rough year. There was a lot going on. A lot of us were dealing with like mental health stuff. And there was like, some drama in the band, and there is like, you know, some of us had some like personal stuff to sort out, and we were kind of like left hanging there for a couple months. But we kind of all got back together, and we basically all were like, yo, like, we really want to do this. Like, we put all this into this, like, let's see this album through no matter what it takes and go from there. Like, well, you know, if it's the last thing we do, at least we did this. Right.
Right.
So we got it together. We had a bunch of issues shooting the video for Endgame at first, because just, I'm not going to lie, I'm not here to like drag people whether they deserve it or not, but we had just like two bad director things happen in a row. We shot that video twice. And the second one still kind of didn't come out the way it was supposed to, but it's like, it's one of our favorite songs and one of our least favorite videos, unfortunately, but that video is out there. So we did that video. Did really well. I mean, it did great. It got everybody all hyped up because it was kind of like a more post-hardcore. It was like Exhale, where we dropped one of the less super breakdown-y songs first, because they tend to get a wider net with listeners.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then later that, you know, into the fall, we did, we were playing shows by that point. At the end of, I think we started, my brain is just gets all off. Yeah. We were did a couple short tours that end of that year, and stuff like that. We played I Matter Festival again.
Oh, rad.
Yeah. And it was even crazier the second time. That was probably one of my favorite days, even though it was at the end of our tour and I blew my voice out and I kind of sounded like shit. It was still one of the best shows we ever played. But I hate the live videos are on YouTube and it makes me so sick to listen to them, because I'm like, oh, that's not what I sound like. We got through 2019. We dropped Hollow Bastion, which is another single off the album. That one did really well. That was probably when our Spotify was like at its all-time high, was around like that time, and things were really going good. And then this is kind of where we land on COVID.
That's where I was gonna ask next. So like you guys recorded the whole record, you're getting ready to, you're promoting and you're touring and things are probably starting to go, and then what? And then
got our legs cut off, man. It was like we had like that miracle band like thing all laid out. It was, everything was going as we planned it. Like, despite all the missteps we had, like, we had really like pulled it together, and the schedule that we stuck to worked, where we were like, hey, like this month we're going to drop this, we'll plan this out, drop a teaser this day, merch, like we had it all set up.
You had your like timeline ready.
Yeah, we bought all this merch for, we were supposed to headline. I'm getting ahead of myself, but basically like we had the album release show planned. We managed to book it headlining Higher Ground in Vermont, because we're like, we want to do it here, because like we're a Vermont band, we want to like have this here. We're all our friends and family, all our friends and family who've never been able to see us because they don't leave the state, who like been supporting us, like we want to be able to have it where we live, you know. Well, sure. Where some of us live, because I don't know if this is important, but so Robbie, Chase and I live in Vermont, but Sammy's in Massachusetts, Kenzie's from New Hampshire. So
but you're that's a fairly close area, right?
Yeah, but it's just like we've never not commuted like 4 hours to record or practice. Like we would literally like drive two and a half, three hours every week to practice for every show. Like when there was a show coming up, like that's what it took to make this all work out. Like we drive hour is so much time and money just to make this all work, because it's hard to find musicians, you know. You gotta work with who you can. So
especially if you guys gel together and everything, I guess 3 hours isn't that bad.
Yeah. So, you know, we're at this point where let's say, here we go. So we booked the show. We had like the lights, like everything. We picked we were really meticulous about who we picked. We wanted to pick some kind of like some hardcore bands, some heavier shit, and really make it like a Vermont show, where it's like that mixed genre show where it's going to appeal like everybody from different, you know, sides of the scene could all come together. And it was fucking insane. I mean, the album came out. We had a fuck up with like when our album got submitted to the charts, shit didn't go through. So our album didn't end up charting, which really fucked us a little bit too, because like something with the codes it's a long story, but that was a little frustrating.
Sure.
But aside from that, it did great. You know, it's like most of the songs did really well, and because we highlighted so many of them, it wasn't like we just had that one single, like, every song has like, you know, 50 to, you know, or 100,000, you know, streams, something on it. Yeah. So we just hit 1 million streams on the album, actually.
That's amazing.
A week or two ago.
So yeah, cool, thank you. Dude. Yeah, congratulations.
I appreciate it. despite everything.
Well, I mean, that's a huge accomplishment, especially you guys haven't been a band a whole couple of years, right? And
I mean,
on a record, that's big, man.
I was surprised because, like, you're not touring an album, you're fucked, you know? So it's like, but basically what happened is, like, we played the Higher Ground show, it sold out, pre-sale, sold out. It was like, and here's a place we haven't really played much. We didn't really know what to expect, you know? And it was like people getting turned away at the door. And it's insane. I literally felt like, I was like, we've made it. Like, we were like, the crowd was insane. Like, the whole show, it was like, you know, longest set of my life. Best ever. I made it through the whole thing. At least, you know, I was like, I've never played 10 songs in a row. Just, it was just killed. It was perfect. Like, merch sales, ticket sales, everybody. It was just great. It was just everything you'd want. And we had just bought all this merch because we were supposed to headline the Palladium in Massachusetts for the first time, which is like the venue to play in New England pretty much. Mm-hmm. And a week after the headliner at Higher Ground, COVID canceled everything.
Oh my God.
So I've played those songs one time.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and that's kind of where we were at but it was a year ago now.
I know, month. Dude. We're all like still in here, right?
Yeah, still in here. Yeah, like not doing this in person with anyone. Sure. But yeah, so 2020 was just, I still feel like I'm in 2020. You know what I mean?
Dude, same here, man. I don't think 2020 will end until everybody's allowed to go outside again.
Well, yeah, that's the only place you can go.
Oh yeah, but I mean, to a show. Oh yeah, 2020's over now. There's shows.
Oh yeah, and like, man, there was like, and then our manager books iMatterFest. Was like the iMatterFest. We weren't even playing, but like we were so excited to go hang out because the lineup for this year was ridiculous. It was like Knock Loose, Motionless in White, fucking just crazy. Uh-huh. And like it sucked because like our drummer has a clothing brand called Break Loose. Like he was gonna have like a tent, and like we just had all these cool plans. We had some tours lined up. We were gonna play the West Coast in the fall of last year. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to tour with Savage Hands and a Virtue Duelos, one of our kind of bigger tours that we would have ever done. It was our would have been our biggest tour we'd done yet. Mm-hmm. We were just about to put a down payment on a new van. And then luckily we didn't do that.
Right. Like, you know, with a van, you're like, so...
not stuck with a van, but stuck with a van payment when we weren't. Cause like, I mean, I'm not here to like brag money, but like we made a lot of money on merch at shows. Like we did very well cause we planned it right. And we promoted right. And we always, and like we had budgeted ourselves for what was coming. We had ordered merch for what was coming. We had planned to re-up. Like we have a very, our Google Drive is insane. Like we have a structure. Like everyone in the band has a job. It's kind of like an office.
Yeah.
Like everyone has right? Yeah. So like we had all that fucked us. And here we were up till now, we had the money coming in where we could afford to keep doing bigger and better things for the band with content and videos and all this stuff. And now we're like left, all of that just got cut dry. So it's, and I'm obviously touring bands got fucked way harder than we ever did, you know,
right.
I don't even want to, we're lucky despite how fucked we got, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's, now we're like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. Like we just dropped an album. Like it's going to start dipping now. Cause we didn't get to play all these shows to keep the buzz up and keep, you know, promoting it. We just put all of this time and energy into it. So we ended up, so what did we do? We dropped a fuck ton of other stuff in 2020 because we were like, what else do we do? And like, we are so used to just nonstop
going.
Yeah. And then now we're spinning our wheels in the sand with nowhere to go, but we're trying, and we're not making what we put in back, or like, we're investing money in, but we're not getting the return that we normally would. So, you know, we just kept, you know, we did like the piano reprise of Never Knows Best. You know, because I thought that'd be fun. We did a Motionless in White acoustic cover. Those that actually did really, really well. We did the Bring Me to Life cover by Evanescence. That did really well. You never really know with that stuff.
I love the cover that you guys did too of it. It's like it's the like album cover, but you made it the blues and the blacks that their record cover had.
Yeah, that's all Ian, our video guy. He pretty much like, I mean, he works freelance. I mean, he does stuff for a lot of people, but he kind of is like a part of our team. He comes with us. He shot the Black Guys video, the Never Knows Best piano video. He shot the Broken Window video, which was one of the first things we did when COVID hit, because we're like, we got to highlight another song. We got to keep the hype up because we can't play shows.
Sure.
So we just kind of started just putting out videos and acoustic shit, and then all this, you know, but it kind of started to we realized that we were trying to figure out how do you do this, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like everybody right. was, but I think we just kind of did too much and we just wore ourselves thin. And like we put out, I don't think anybody's ever done that. We put out like 15 songs in 2020, the album plus five other things.
That's crazy.
And then we had like the idea for the Binary EP, which was supposed to be a fun little thing. Cause we were like, well, hey, why don't we do this thing to kind of like shake it up? Where like you have just Chase on a song and just me on a song, and they're just mm-hmm. super brutal. And then people will also be able to kind of tell like whose screams are whose when they're listening to our other stuff a little better.
Right.
Kind of see like, get to see our dimensions more. Cause mm-hmm. like with a two vocalist band, like when people are just jamming you, like they don't really know a lot. And a lot of people sometimes will be like, who's this other guy when they see the videos? Cause they didn't realize there was two people.
You're right.
So like,
why are there two singers?
Yeah. So
What's going on here?
So we had Ian, we shot this like 2-in-1 video where it was like both songs, 2-song EP, one video, both songs back to back. And that did really well also because it was so much heavier than a lot of our other stuff. It kind of hit a new audience that, and like Two Lit Mafia did like, mm-hmm. you know, a review of it and a reaction of it and stuff. But that's kind of where we ended up, you know. It's like we've just been kind of chilling. So, but we spent most of the year behind the scenes just building our infrastructure, like, you know, Chase and Sammy of clothing brands. Robbie literally taught himself to produce and now has a studio.
That's cool.
Bands like in like one summer. He's kind of a robot. Like he can learn anything. Like we figured out all of our business stuff, like how to collect all these royalties from places that like no one seemed to know about or no one could tell us. We did all this research. So we pretty much just got our band really running, and with everybody having a job, and we're all just kind of focusing on our side hustles and like, okay, well, when touring comes back, what are we going to do for money? Like, what are we going to mm-hmm. like, let's use this time that we're all just sitting around to be productive. But I think overall, we just kind of hit a wall very recently where we're like, we need to just take a little break. It's just, right. it's hard when all we've thought about, this was supposed to be last year was supposed to be the like jump off year.
Sure.
So 2021 was supposed to be when things really hit. Like we had it on good authority that we would have had some really big tours offered mm-hmm. to us had what we planned right. to do last year happened the way it was supposed to.
Sure.
But you know, it is what it is. And there's a lot of things that we've accomplished this that never would have happened without COVID mm-hmm. that are going to put us in a way better place in a lot of ways later.
Sure.
But the hardest part is like, you know, right now with travel restrictions, as bad as they are, like we can't even meet up kind of like we were here and there.
Like practice. Or
yeah. Like, well, we haven't practiced since before the Higher Ground show. We have not played I haven't sang into my microphone since, you know, this time last year.
Wow.
It's like we're all in different states.
Right.
So
right.
It's
right.
Like, it's not safe. Yeah.
It's not easy to get together. Sure.
Yeah. So it's like, now we're sitting here, like, well, we put all the shit out. Like we have so much music written and like, we have some really cool plans, but it just feels like if we do it right, if we did it too soon, it would be a waste right now. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of just chilling for a little bit. We have mm-hmm. some cool stuff planned coming up here though.
What do you got coming up? What's going on?
I can't say yet. It's just kind of like we're in the next month or two though. We are doing things.
Okay.
We're giving the people something. You know what I mean?
I love that. Yeah.
But mostly we're kind of like, you know, I've just been like doing podcasts and mm-hmm. drawing because I do like digital art. I'm trying to get into that, so I've just been drawing a lot and like
that's cool.
We all got studios so we can try to write remotely. Because mm-hmm. there's like programs and plugins where you can basically all be on like a Zoom call, all sharing the same interface.
Oh, that's rad.
So we're trying to work on that and just figure out how to self-record, you know, so mm-hmm. we can do like, you know, features. I've been doing features and vocal lessons and stuff like that.
That's rad.
And just nerding out and just, you know, collecting action figures and watching, you know, playing
Netflix.
Video games. So, but it's kind of like we needed it. I feel like, you know, it's like we spent all this time just grinding when we should have been chilling, I think. Mm-hmm. Like,
sure.
Because I see a lot of these other bands and like, guys, like we're like just freaking out doing stuff nonstop. And like, you know, the singer of fucking Fall Reverse is just streaming. You know what I mean? Just,
right,
just playing exactly. video games, like chill. Like, you
right.
know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
it's hard because we aren't a band that's that big and sustained. So it feels like we constantly have to like
keep
grinding.
Proving yourself. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you don't want to oversaturate, you know? And it's
right.
like, let people forget about you and let it be fresh when it comes back. And that's kind of where we're at now. And that's the short version.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, hopefully it'll open up soon and then you guys can, you know, get back doing what you do. Right.
I mean, it's like realistically, best case scenario, we can play like, you know, maybe the headliner we were supposed to play by the end of the year. Uh-huh. But I don't see us being on the road till well into 2022, especially with the amount of venues that closed,
right,
the amount of big bands that had tours that got put off that they're going to have monopoly on venues and all that, because all those tours are just going to get pushed over.
Right. Everything's going to open again. And then, like, everyone that's hasn't booked yet are going to have to kind of,
and then even with the vaccine, like, there's going to be safety things that lower capacity, prices are going to go up, smaller bands, it's going to be harder for them to book shows, or maybe it'll be easier because lower capacity venues will be the thing. I don't really know.
We'll see then, I guess.
Even with the vaccine, it's like not like everyone's gonna instantly be okay and everyone can just run out. Like, it's gonna take time for everyone to like get it,
right?
I mean, build up the immunity to it. Yeah, and now there's these new strains, so it's like stressful, man, and it's scary. And it was like, I was like, I'm just tired of thinking about the band every single day because it's just making me upset because I can't do anything.
Right.
So we're like, let's just chill and use this time and then like to do stuff like this and, you know, just talk. Like, I've been doing so many interviews and podcasts, just chatting. You know, with people that also I do one called the Metalcore Nerds podcast.
Oh, cool.
Every week we're reviewing and discussing WandaVision right now.
Uh-huh.
So like, I don't know if you're like a Star Wars Marvel nerd guy.
I know the show. I haven't watched it. My son is into it. So yeah, I haven't.
It's like kind of like Twin Peaks meets Marvel.
Yeah, that's what he's told me. It's pretty cool.
It's weird. But yeah, so that's kind of where we're at.
Right on, man.
The abridged version. Like, dude, I swear to God, I feel like when I talk, it's like a movie before it gets edited and cut. Like, everything's filmed out of order.
Nah, dude, it's great. I appreciate it. And thanks for doing this. This has been fun. I have one more question for you before I let you go. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's funny you asked this because me and Robbie actually like do consults with bands because we've learned all this stuff that helped us, and we like, and there's a lot, but I would say if I had to make like bullet points, I mean, have a plan, don't release stuff just to release it because you want to have a presence, because you want to have your music heard. Be patient, wait, do it right, get all the pieces together, get the right band member if you're serious about it. You know, if this is not something you're not taking, whatever, you know, just have fun. But if you want to do something with your music, get the right people, get the right recordings, like put the money in, get the right art, get the marketing, get your press, have your actual like plan set up. Like, get your distribution right. Like, have your, you know how to work the Facebook algorithms. Don't waste your release, you know? Don't waste, and just like be prepared to put it first. Like, be prepared to skip Thanksgiving. Be prepared to have to put your money and time into it, because until you have a label giving you money or something like that, like, you're gonna have to fund it. And every time you do something, you're gonna have to do it bigger and better next time. So just like, that's probably the simplified thing I could say is just do the research and just do it right.